As we are coming close to the end of the holy season of Christmas and of the Epiphany, with the great feast next Friday of the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, Candlemas, we also see that the prophecies are made and are being fulfilled. In the first reading today from the book of Deuteronomy, which, by the way, means the second law, the second time the law was promulgated by God through Moses. He, our Lord, foretells that a prophet like him will come from the Lord. And of course, first of all, the prophet that he is speaking about more closely to their time, to their proximity, is that of the prophet Joshua, his disciple, his helper, who was to be the one who would speak to the people once Moses had died, and he was about to die. But it's also not as close to the time of Moses, but to our time, that he is predicting the coming of the Son of God, the Messiah, the teacher, the one who is to teach, the one who is to teach with authority. And of course, we see this in the Gospel according to St. Mark, St. John Mark, the cousin of our Lord. They came to Capernaum, which something was very common for our Lord. They were always coming to and from one town or the other, teaching and blessing and healing the sick and casting out devils. And our Lord and the disciples, the apostles, entered the synagogue. Now, elsewhere in the Gospels of St. Matthew and St. Luke, we are also told that our Lord came to the synagogue on the Sabbath as he was wont to do, as he was accustomed to do. In other words, he followed the law that he himself had given to Moses and the prophets. Just as he would if he were here today, he would go to Mass on Sundays and holy days and most likely every day of the week. You know, why become the worst possible kind of Catholic there is, Sunday Catholics, as if God doesn't do anything for you the other 6 days? Does he forget you? Does he abandon you? I don't think so. And around here, it seems, when the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, as it were, everybody wanted to come. But now, it's not a big deal, because the doors are not locked. Those are, but these are not. Before, you used to have to knock to get in. And everybody wanted to come because they knew the end was very near. And as a result, they wanted to be there just in case this would be the last time. Well, who's to tell you that today is not the last time you will go to Mass? That today the world will end? That today your life will end? And this will be your last Mass. We need to treat each day as the first and the last. And so here he comes, as he was wont to do on the Sabbath, the day of the Lord, which of course we will go into that with greater accuracy in the future again, because we must never stop preaching the truth. The Sabbath is the day of the Lord. For us, the Sabbath has switched from Saturday to Sunday, by the will of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a day of the resurrection. It is a day of Pentecost. It is a day of that particular moment in which Christ comes to us, the Sabbath, which becomes Sunday, Dies Dominicalis, the day of the Lord. And so the people were astonished. Why? The prophecy to Moses by God is fulfilled. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, they taught, and what they taught, our Lord himself said, listen to what they say to you, but do not do as they do. Our Lord, different. do as he says, do as he does. And even to this day. And in our day, there are many, many who are supposed to be teaching the truth and preaching the truth, and they teach nonsense, sometimes absolute heresy and immorality, as we well know, and we will not go into it. If you have to be told that is the sun and that is the moon, then put your head back onto the ground like an ostrich and forget about it. It is evident. And so our Lord taught with authority. He taught because he was God. And the authority comes from him to us and to all those who are supposed to have authority within the church, even if they are betraying it. In the meantime, there was a man with an unclean spirit. He was possessed by a demon, maybe more than one demon. We've seen this in the life of our Lord. Of course, we've been having many, many baptisms, and at the moment of the exorcisms, the babies that are so sweet and cooey and smiley and whatever, at that moment when they are exorcised of the devil, they begin to cry. Even today, as we had our latest parishioner who was baptized, he never makes a sound, and then at that moment, he begins to cry. And so it was there too. The devil did not want to be exorcised. What hast thou to do with us? What authority dost thou have over us? And then they answer their own question. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, hast thou come to destroy us? Yes. Not to destroy, because a spirit cannot be destroyed, but to cast back into hell where they belong, as we do here every day, not just on Sundays. I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And our Lord doesn't have to argue or cajole or whatever. And a lot of times people say, why don't you argue with that one or try to convince him of this or that or the other? We don't have to do that. The truth speaks for itself. The light is light. The dark is dark. Quiet, come out. And the unclean spirit convulsed him with a loud cry and came out of him. And everyone was amazed. Who is this? What is this? Something that totally was unheard of. Since the beginning of the world, since God spoke to Adam and Eve, a new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, of whom they were terrified, as you are terrified. And you should be. And they obey him. And thus he made himself known, the Epiphany. Again, the Epiphany continues. His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.